Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13, and I'll get us started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the victories that we're seeing in our country. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that due to the intercession of your people, we have been granted mercy. Mercy. And instead of a person who would come in and bring destruction to our country, you gifted us with your man, chosen for this hour, created for this hour, who would strength to our country and stability back to our country. I thank you for that, Lord. Father God, as we read your word, and as I share the things that you have spoken to me, I ask for your grace. Let your grace abound over the course of this next several minutes, Lord. Let your grace abound. I pray that you would help to bring forth the message that you have. I pray that you would help us to set aside distractions and focus on what you have for us tonight. I pray, Lord God, that you would just supernaturally calm things around us so that we can focus on your message for 2020. I thank you, Lord God, for the privilege that we have to come together and study your word, hear your voice, and pray for our nation. I thank you, Lord, for every person who's on this line with us. I thank you for them, Lord God. Let your presence be with us. Yes, Lord, I thank you. In your precious and holy name, amen. Last year, the Lord, after the GOE, the DC GOE, the Lord began to speak to me about what's coming. And he showed me, you know, he showed me the path of revival. He showed me the what he wants to do in our nation. He showed me the glory that he wants to release across our nation. And not only our nation, but nations around the world. And it was very beautiful. It was very exciting. And he closed all of that by letting me know, and I did share this last year, that a shaking was coming to our nation. And so what's coming will be birthed through the shaking that's coming. And people get very scared when you talk about shaking. They get very nervous, and I'm telling you that I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm actually understanding. You know, my mom used to call me and she'd say, "Honey, the Lord's given me a dream about thus and so, and so you need to prepare yourself." And I always knew when she was about to give me a word that maybe might make me uncomfortable, because I would immediately everything would just stop, freeze frame, and I would start to hear my heartbeat in my ears, and my heart would drop into my stomach, and then I pretty much couldn't hear anything she said after that, and I'd have to, you know, start, thank you. And she said, "Do you have any questions? Can you repeat that?" You know, she said, "A whole thing?" Well, you know, I kind of went into to lockdown, you know, flight or fight mode. And so I'm just going to need you to repeat that for me. And so I can relate when someone feels apprehensive or they feel fearful when someone says a shaking is coming, because it could really mean anything. You know, it really can mean anything. And the Lord told me that what was going to be born through, and it was really a turbulent time that we are about to embark on, it was going to be something so powerful, so profound, that it would be almost unmatched in our history. It was going to be a true and a pure move of God that was going to be released. And still, I understand how it can make one nervous to even hear, you know, what has to happen before you get the release. It makes us nervous. And I want you to know you're not alone in that. If you feel that way, you could be excited. If you're a prayer cell leader and you were on the PCL training on Tuesday night, you know, I shared some of these things with you. And I'm going to elaborate on that and really focus on the church today. And this is important for us because we need to pray. We need to pray for the church. We need to pray for the nation. And we need to pray about what's coming, that God will complete all that needs to be done within us so that we can carry this commission and we can carry this move of God to the fullness. We don't want to be cut short. We don't want to stop short. We want to see the harvest that God has planned come to fruition. And so tonight, as I share with you, I want you to please really focus on the things that I share. And when it's put up on the website, I, you know, will let you know, and you can go back and you can listen to it. Because the things that I want to share, it's tremendous hope that's coming. God has blessed us. The last 3 years, God has truly blessed us. As Pastor Will was sharing, what's taken place and the, you know, the good news. And as he handed it over to me and I started to pray, this weight hit my chest. And it was a weight of tremendous gratitude. Gratitude to the Lord that he saw fit to bless us with President Trump. Over 7 million jobs have been created in the last 3 years while he has been in the midst of unbelievable persecution. He has paved the way for over 7 million jobs to be created in our country. 7 million people are at work. People that were not at work before. He's cut regulations that were keeping companies out of our country, that caused those companies to move out of our country in the 90s under the Clinton administration. When he signed the treaty and the deal with China, and all of our companies started to go over there to China, it left our people here unemployed. And it created a vacuum in our country, a vacuum of dependence on the government, a vacuum of hopelessness, where people had grown up working in factories and logging industries and had, I mean, that's what they did. Their grandparents worked there, their parents worked there, and now they work there. And when the Clinton administration sent all those jobs overseas, these people that had grown up in towns, factory towns, are now suddenly unemployed. They don't have the money to relocate, and they're living off of subsidies from the government. So there's just not the true value of a hard day's work and providing for your family. And the self-esteem that you feel just declines more and more and more. And it creates this vacuum in a community of sorrow, of helplessness, of grief. When are things going to turn around? When are things going to change for us? And the waiting. But as Pastor Will was sharing, the good news, I thought about what our president has gone through. I thought about the turbulence that he's lived through for 3 years. I thought about this impeachment hoax and this, you know, the Russia hoax. And he has been under constant scrutiny. He's been under constant persecution from the left. All the while, he's been a barrier between us and the people trying to destroy this country. All the while, the very people that might be shaking their fists at him one day, he was paving the path for them to have a job the next day. He's the most pro-life president we've ever had, ever. We have never had a president in the history of our country declare that life begins at conception and that that baby had a right to protection. President Reagan, who was a pro-life president, even he was not that pro-life. So whenever anyone tries to rise up against this president, and they don't like his words, and they don't like what he did 20 years ago, and I think, well, you know, I did a lot of things 20 years ago I don't like. You know, if you knew me 20 years ago, would you still like me? The regulations and the laws that he's implemented to protect victims of human trafficking. We've never had a president have more arrests in terms of human trafficking like we have with President Trump. So for those reasons, not just the fact that he's God's choice for our nation, but because this man stands for the protection of our children, and he stands for the unborn. And that in and of itself deserves a people who will stand for him. He takes the brunt of everything. Because in truth, and there's a meme that's out there right now, and it's a picture of him, and he's looking very serious. And he said, and he says in there, all that they're throwing at me really is meant for you. I'm the only thing standing in the way. He's taking the brunt of the attacks to shield us from those attacks. It's admirable. So if I look at somebody who is a very public figure, who has gone through much turbulence and yet has come through and overcome and continued to press on toward the goal, I can very easily point to President Trump. What an example he's given us to stay focused, to keep your eyes on the prize. Over the course of the next many months, a couple years, we're going to go through some things. The body of Christ is going to go through some things. And it's so important that we stay focused, keep our eyes on the prize, that we remember the reason that we're put here, and that we really do understand it, and that we press on toward the goal, the high calling of knowing Christ to the fullness of our ability. Matthew chapter 13. Let's start at verse 10, and I'm reading in the Amplified tonight. Then the disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he replied to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him will more be given, and he will be furnished richly so that he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is the reason that I speak to them in parables, because having the power of seeing, they do not see, and having the power of hearing, they do not hear, nor do they grasp and understand." This word, understand, I want to explain what that word means. It consists of two words, put and put together. So together with put. So to put together, it means to join facts together to arrive at a summary or a final understanding, complete with life application. It's closely connected with discerning and doing the preferred will of God. It's able to take facts, put them together, and come out with a conclusion that would include life application. To be able to take facts, put them together, to gain wisdom from it, and to be able to come out of that with such wisdom, you have life application. I want you to think about that for a minute, because if you look at the educational system and you look at what they've been working on toward our youth, it is to strip us of our ability to discern facts, to put together a whole picture, and to glean some life application from that. They have sought to strip us of that while they feed into us what we think, what we feel, what we hear, and how we're supposed to discern all of that. They've been working on this for a very long time. We have talked before about the dumbing down of our youth, the dumbing down of society. Why? Because they don't want us to think for ourselves. They don't want us to be able to process the information that's been given to us and actually come up with our own conclusions. They want to tell you what that conclusion is. If you watch the media today, and my prayer is that there is not a single person on this line that watches mainstream media, because if you do, you are being programmed. You're being programmed with anger and with hatred, with aggression when need to be, with depression. You are being programmed to think and to feel and to act a certain way that would keep you in a mindset to be controlled at will. And that's a very dangerous place for a Christian to be. Because the minute we move into this flow of being controlled, of being manipulated by a force that is satanic, a separation begins to take place between the believer and God, because they are starting to receive and apply facts given to them by a satanic source. The media functions with witchcraft, with demonic activity. They feed lie after lie after lie into our minds. And if you think I am only talking to you, please know that I'm not. Because I used to get up, get my kids ready for school, and while they went in and got themselves dressed and brushed their teeth and stuff, I had Good Morning America on while I put my makeup on before I got in my truck and took them to school. The Lord had to break me from that. Now, this was many, many years ago. The Lord pulled me away from that many, many years ago. My youngest graduated high school in 2013. And I can tell you, I have not watched the news since before that. It was a year or two before he graduated that I pulled away from it, because something was happening in me. There was a numbing taking place in me. And I thought, something's wrong here. And I remembered a dream that the Lord had given me way back in 1989. And I've shared this before, but in that dream, I saw that in the television stores, there were all these TVs, and the news was on there, on the news racks and the magazines and stuff like that. All the news was on there. And when I had these special glasses that I put on, I could see that propaganda was spewing out from that television. I could see that subliminal messaging was taking place. I wrote about it in our book, Ever Speaking Voice of God. 1989, the Lord gave me this dream. I could see that in the newspaper, and every single reporter that we saw was feeding the company line. It was propaganda driven. It wasn't the truth. And it was meant to achieve an outcome. Either to keep us holed up in our homes, to keep us fighting against righteousness, to keep us angry, embittered, and afraid. And see, it took over 25 years for me to really start to grab hold of that. The Lord had to bring that back to me. And when he did, I had to fall on my face and repent. Because I had been sucked into the very thing he warned me about. I had been sucked into the very thing he warned me about. And he had to break it off of me. Why is it important that I bring this up right now? Because over the course of the next many months, they are going to kick it into high gear. They do not care about the truth. And as children of the Most High God, we need to be seeking his faith for what truth is. You see, they're trying to tell us what we understand. They're trying to tell us how to assess things. But what they're really doing is they are feeding us their desired outcome. Their plan was to have Hillary elected into office. And in so doing, They could take our nation down a socialist path until eventually we would be in full-on communism. We wouldn't even have borders. What we see happening over in the UK, where they just said, you know what, let's prove we're not racist. Let's just open up the borders. We're just going to open these borders wide. And they have entire regions in the UK right now that the police won't even go into because they have been declared Sharia law. There's acid attacks on a daily basis, and there's knife attacks on a daily basis. People die every single day in the UK because they have been so overrun by Muslims who were fleeing their own countries, and they came in with the multitude of refugees, and they have taken over the region. So much so that there are areas the police will not even go. See, that was their plan for our country. But God. God had a plan because his people came together and they prayed. 18 years we prayed. We fasted and we interceded and we came to the throne room time after time after time. And God sent forth his Cyrus. And he has spent 3 years trying to tell us about the fake news media, trying to tell us to get off of the fake news media. Why? Because they are not trying to teach us how to understand anything. They are not trying to teach us or tell us what's really going on. They're trying to control us. But we are children of the King. Our answers, our hope, our peace, the promises that God has, those are to be found in the Word of God. People say, well, I just need to know what's going on so that I can know how to pray. There's wonderful alternative media sources that you can access. Wonderful. That will only give you the truth. And if you need to know who they are, what those resources are, then contact the office and we will help you. Now, I wasn't planning to address the media tonight, but I felt like it was important. Because through this next course of turbulence, the children of God have to be so anchored in God that we cannot allow outside influences to shake us. We cannot allow outside influences to shake us. Because what God is trying to do in this hour is to shake loose everything that can be shaken so that what remains is an unshakable force. Why is that? Today I was reading Ezekiel 37, and I'm actually going to read it, and then I'm going to share with you what the Lord showed me. And it was so powerful. All I could do was to sit there with my face on the ground. Because I saw what God is wanting to do in the body of Christ. And I thought, Lord, thank you for helping us to keep our eye on the prize. Thank you for helping us to stay focused. Thank you for breaking the numbing agents that the educational system and media have placed upon us. And Lord God, thank you for setting us free, because this right here, what I'm about to share with you, is what's coming. And it's so powerful and it's so exciting. that I think that we would be more than willing to endure whatever comes our way to be a part of. God is trying to create anchors in this earth, a force to be reckoned with. People who are encompassed in the seven spirits of God. That is what he is working to create in this hour. He wants people who go to the throne room for their answers, not their televisions, not the newspapers, not the stars. The throne room. In our nation, over the course, and I'm going to read Ezekiel 37 in just a minute, but I want to tell you that as the weeks and months progress, we are going to see upheavals. You're going to see it in the media. You're going to see it in the churches. You know, I just read of a pastor in Florida who's been arrested for harming children. That's another one. It's heartbreaking when we see this type of thing happen. He's a bishop. It's heartbreaking when this happens. But God is bringing it to light and exposing it so that he can set these children free. We're going to see it take place with Hollywood, thank the Lord. We're going to see political upheaval, where people that are lifetime politicians are going to be pulled out of office. And you know what? That's not going to make everybody happy. We're going to be very happy, especially here in California. Not everybody's going to share the same sentiment. And it might be a little rough. But I remind you that your peace, your strength, your comfort is found in the throne room of God. He will pull you through this. He will strengthen you. He will make you a force to be reckoned with. He is trying to break the spirit of fear off his people right now and give them the spirit of might. When we pray for the seven spirits to be upon our president, that's something we should be praying over ourselves as well. God, give me the seven spirits that are found in Isaiah 11. Grant me the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel. Grant me the seven spirits, O God, the spirit of revelation. Unlock the mysteries of your word to me. This is what he wants to do in his body. He's trying to grow his people up. He's trying to grow us up. Do you think that John the Baptist got his news from the Pharisees? No. He confronted the Pharisees when they walked in sin, hypocrisy. Do you think Elijah got his news from the Daily Bugle? No. He went to the throne room of God. Daniel was given a task to tell the king not only the interpretation of the dream, but the actual dream. Talk about dependence on God. talk about dependence on God. He had to seek God for the king's dream and then the interpretation. Most people would have fled the city, but not Daniel, because he had grown up in God. There's something so exciting coming to the body of Christ. He's trying to create a body equipped for the harvest. He's trying to create a body that is fearless. He's trying to create a body that walks in true unity, a John 17 oneness with Christ, a oneness with one another. This is what he's trying to create in us. It doesn't happen overnight, and it certainly doesn't happen by sitting in a church pew every Sunday and then just putting your Bible on a shelf to collect dust as you go about your week. This comes about by a people that are seeking the face of God on a regular basis. This comes about by people that are in his word, seeking him for understanding of his word, seeking him for revelation of his word. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please help me. Give me revelation of your word. Give me revelation. And the beauty of God is he answers that prayer. And I'm going to give you a perfect example, two examples. I was studying Matthew 13 in preparation for our PCL training. And he said, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And I had a vision of a big door. It was a very thick, solid castle door, like a kingdom. And it was old wood, so it was really, really thick. It was archway. There was a dirt pathway leading up to it. Everything was very, very dark. And then I had this key in my hand suddenly. It's like the Lord put it there. And it was a blood-soaked key. And I saw the keyhole, and I stuck it in. And I unlocked the door, and it popped open. And it only popped open a small amount, just a sliver. But such a brilliant light came out from behind that door. I was stunned by it. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, the mysteries of my kingdom, purchased with the blood-soaked key of my son. And through him, through entering in the secret place, it's not an easy path, it's not well trodden, but if you press on, I will give you the key, and behind that door are the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's a beautiful thing. It's a humbling thing when he chooses Almighty God, the creator of everything that lives and breathes, when he chooses to unlock the mysteries of his kingdom to you. Who can say no? Who would want to? It's a beautiful thing. This is what he's wanting to do for his body. So today, I was reading Ezekiel 37. And I'm going to read again, I'm going to read that in the Amplified. Ezekiel 37, start at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about among them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath and spirit in you, and you dry bones shall live, and you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and a trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath or spirit in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath and spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe and spirit, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath and the spirit came into the bones, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. I finished that line. And I had a vision. And in this vision, I saw the bones coming together. And as they came from all four corners of the earth, they came and they actually formed one man. And he stood so tall, I can't tell you how tall he was, but light infused his bones. And he became light and walked the earth. And I said, what is this, Lord? And he said, this is the church I am raising up in this hour. The shaking, the difficulties, the exciting moments, they are all allowed so that I can raise up my church in this hour. I have put a man in office who has given the church free reign for the first time in decades. The church, the true church, the ecclesia, those that are called out of the world and up to God. I'm not talking about the structure of the church. I'm not talking about the denominations of the church. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about the church that Peter, the rock, was founded on. I'm talking about the church that Paul wrote about, the church in Thessalonica, the church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi. I'm talking about the church, those people called out of the world and up to God, because that's what the church means. Those who have been called out of the world, the ways of the world, the filth and the disgusting and the sexual perversions and the lying and the cheating, the destruction of our youth, the jealousy, the adultery, the deception, those called out of that mess and up to God, into the purity and the holiness of who God is. I am creating. Breathe life into these bones. Call them forth in the name of Jesus. Bring life into these bones. And my fire. My light, his light was so pure. It was so bright. It was like fire emanating from the bones of this vessel. And it brought forth light, life. Everywhere it stepped, life bloomed. So it doesn't matter what we have to go through. It doesn't matter what the difficult times are. God has been refining us. In 2018, he said this is a year of refining. Doing what? Bringing forth a new breed of believers. Last year, he was bringing forth judgment on the house of God because they had not stood by the man God chose to lead this nation. And this year, he said, my shaking is coming, but it's going to bring forth these new breed of believers in a force to be reckoned with. They will be the church of God, walking strong and bringing forth light and life in the earth. And I could not help but think about Tommy Hicks' vision of 1961. When the enemy tried to keep that giant man that was liquid gold down, when it finally broke free, it stood up and it was a giant. And as it pointed its finger, love would flow through its finger and reach into the darkest alleys and bring forth the living God in that realm. This is what we're fighting for. This is what we're standing for. This is what we endure for. To be the church of God. Those called out of the world and up to God. Those that will walk in the John 17. I am one with you, Father. Let them be one with one another and one with us. Isn't that what Jesus prayed when he was in the garden? He prayed. He prayed for his disciples and he prayed for those that would come after them, that we would be one, that we would walk in a unity, a pure, true unity. We would be one vessel for God. And the only way we can achieve that is if we are getting our directive, if we are learning, understanding, assessing the facts, and applying it in our lives, learning to think for ourselves, going to the throne room for our answers, and we will all come out of the throne room as one, a force to be reckoned with. A force that has the seven spirits of God upon their lives, flowing out of them in a way that is unshakable. Because he is shaking everything that can be shaken until the only thing that remains is that which cannot be shaken. His church. Breathing life into it. That's what we're created for. That's why we're here. We're not here for these everyday menial tasks. We are here to be vessels of God, a church set apart and releasing the gospel message that the harvest can come in. We have countless youth engaged in witchcraft that is so steep, you think, how can we ever get them out? The church will get them out. The church will get them out. Those that have endured the shaking, those that have endured and stood the test of time, those that have the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, do you know what that does? That causes people to fall on their faces before God in repentance because they feel his presence in such a mighty way that they have a fear of God, his holiness, and immediately they drop to repentance. There was a revival that took place in a small town, and I am so sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but you've probably heard about this, but there was this revival that was started by these praying women. They just prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and so the spirit of revival came, and it came and it hit their small town so powerfully that people would cross the city line and they would fall on their face in the street, repenting. It's because the spirit of the fear of the Lord was there. They didn't even have to hear the gospel message because the spirit of the Lord was there so powerfully. He convicted their hearts and they repented on the spot. My brothers and sisters, this is the commission to the church. This is the commission. The enemy has so distracted us. There's war between denominations. There's a love affair with the world. There's embracing of witchcraft, merging of Islam and Christianity to create Chrislam. The Catholic Church is infiltrated, creating a false unity movement. And I'm telling you, none of that is of God. None of it. All it's doing is pulling people away from Him. It's time to embrace what God is doing and press on. Bring the shaking, oh God. Shake everything that can be shaken. Break it off of us so that the only thing that remains is You and the things that You have ordained for our lives. We declare life into the bones of the church in the name of Jesus. Life that the breath of God, just like Genesis 2:7, God formed Adam out of the dust and He breathed life into his nostrils and Adam was born. The breath of God brought life. God, bring Your breath into the church. Separate us from the world. Separate us from the false doctrines. And let us rise up and take our place and be the vessel of Your holiness, the vessel of Your seven spirits of God, the vessel that will release the love of God in the earth and bring forth a harvest. Will You do this in us, God? Give us the grace to say yes to the call. Just the grace to say yes to the call. The call to holiness, the call to purity, the call that wakes us up in the wee hours of the morning to come and dine with You in the secret place. The call that causes us to just be in anguish when we have to come out of our prayer closet because we are so enriched by You. It's the grace, oh God. Give us the determination. God is trying to create a fearless force to be reckoned with. A fearless church. Do you know a fearless church walks under the spirit of might? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego They had the spirit of might upon them when they were thrown into the furnace. Yet they did not burn. The spirit of might. A fearless church functions under the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? When you are functioning under the unction of the Lord God Almighty and you see Antifa tearing up a town, the Lord God will send you forth into the center of that and the fear of God will fall on them. But that can't be done if we are not walking in unity with one another and with our God. He is in the process of creating an unshakable force in the earth, and that is his church. Heavenly Father, give us the courage to say yes. Give us the courage to embrace the shaking. Give us the courage, Lord God, to pull away from our televisions, to pull away from these news sources that are feeding us hatred and bitterness and deception and lies, the propaganda, the outright witchcraft that's taking place in the media today to draw us in. Give us, Lord God, the strength to say no to them and yes to you. Let us get our answers from you, O God. Draw us into the secret place and you deposit the day's news into our hearts. You deposit your truth into our hearts. Give us the grace, Lord God, for these dry bones, left weary, scorched by the sun. After a quarter of a century of Babylonian captivity, it took another 50 years before they saw the fruit of that when they were delivered. By who? By Cyrus the Great. And his decree sent through Ezra and Nehemiah to go and build the temple. He released them into the fullness of their call. Father God, give us the grace. Give us the courage. Give us the strength to say, dry bones, rise up and breathe the breath of life in us. Breathe your spirit into us. That your presence will emanate. Your light will emanate. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your presence. I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in the hearts of each of us, even now. I thank you that you're breaking strongholds off of us. I thank you that you're breaking fear off of us and imparting courage, that you are imparting the spirit of might into our hearts, Lord God, that we would seek your face for the seven spirits of God, that we would walk in them. I thank you that 2020 will be a landmark year. And the new breed of believers that you spoke to me about in 2018, we're going to see rise up and take their place in 2020. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, I seal this time with your blood. Amen.